You are listening to the Experience 50 podcast for midlife. I'm your host, Mary Rogers. This is episode 175. Hey guys, welcome to the show. So glad to have you here. Today's episode is called The Devoted Daughter, and we're going to be talking with someone who was a very devoted daughter to her ailing and aging parent. And she ended up going into the senior care business because she got so good at this, or really, I guess, because she saw what a cluster it was for people who you know, got into that position as an adult child. So she jumped into the senior care industry. Then she jumped out, wrote a book, and now she has set up an online community with resources called The Devoted Daughter. So that's where we're headed today with this episode. But before I get there, I just want to say a word about Patreon. So Patreon is where some of you fine, awesome folks support my efforts with small donations each month, starting at $2, which I call just throwing some money in my tip jar, or $5, $10, and a few people are so generous, they even give me $25 a month. And it just helps me pay for all of the fees that I need to cover in order to produce this podcast. Now, I have four new patrons this month who I want to say hello and thank you to. That would be Sherry Goodall, Kristen Boynton, Anonymous, thanks Anonymous, and Lee Dejabe. Not sure if I'm saying that right or not. I guess in America, a lot of us would say Lee Dejabet, but that doesn't sound good. So I'm just kind of going to say that it's Dejabe. Very French, very French. Also, one of my patrons who is at the $25 per month level, she gets a bonus of me dedicating an episode to her. So this is it. Wendy Livingston Guth, this is for you. Wendy, that name might sound kind of familiar to you guys. Wendy was my featured guest in episode 165 when we talked about transformational travel. So you can learn more about Wendy and her business at rebelonthego.com. If you would like me to do a shout out to you and your business, all you need to do is go over to that Patreon page and become a $25 per month donor. Yay! How fun is that? So you just go to Patreon, patreon.com/Mary Rogers. I have some other news about the show, but I'm gonna hold off on that. Let's go into the interview and then I'll come back afterwards and give you some updates. Be sure that you are a member of the Experience 50 Midlife community right there on Facebook. It's my private group. So in order to join, you will be asked a few questions. How many episodes you've listened to? How did you find us? And I'll get your email address. So here we go. Let's jump into the conversation. So many of us find ourselves caring for an aging parent. And sometimes that first step, we don't even realize this is the first step of a much longer process. And we can never imagine what twists and turns are going to happen as our parents age, because there is no playbook for how that happens. There's also never or rarely an agreement among the children between themselves of, okay, it is starting right now where mom or dad or both need us to take care of them. So which one of us is going to take what part? Sometimes you don't even know what the parts are going to be. But nonetheless, this journey begins on a single day at some point. And with us today, I have the perfect person to discuss this. She not only took care of her own mother, but she, as she kind of dove in or was dragged in, however it works for us, she suddenly realized that there was a true lack of information available to people for practical, you know, how-to types of information and what it was going to take personally to step up to that caregiving plate. As she became more involved in her mother's care, she went into the business of senior care, developed a very successful business, and she's with us today to talk about both her personal experience and what she learned in the process of helping thousands of families who enter this same twisting, crazy, emotionally heartbreaking at times situation. So with us today, Kelly Bradley of The Devoted Daughter. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
I'm so glad that you're here. And I think it's so interesting that in your latest reinvention of yourself, you now have this website, The Devoted Daughter, which does not provide home services, but rather supplies information. And so let's start first with you telling my audience what you're doing right now.
So The Devoted Daughter was really born out of my frustration in not having all the information that I needed with my own family and in working with thousands of other families and knowing that they needed more than just in-home care. There is so much more to this. And as you alluded to just a few moments ago, you just don't know until you don't know. So I really wanted The Devoted Daughter to be a place where people felt like they were welcome with open arms. It's a trusted resource. It combines all of the steps that you need to take and things you need to start thinking about now, but it also allows you to kind of bop in and out. So what we all know about caregiving and about aging is it's not a linear process.
It's those twists and those turns.
Yeah, it's just not linear. And sometimes what I've seen happen a lot is somebody gets sick and then all of a sudden they get better, right? Which is great. So it's like, oh, mom and dad's better. You know, we're free. We're okay. Everything's good now. And then all of a sudden the other shoe drops again. And it's like, oh no, now we're back here. And, you know, as people age, their parts wear out, right? So this stuff just kind of continues to fester. So at The Devoted Daughter, we provide resources, we provide lifestyle choices that people can make so they can enjoy the aging process. And we try to deliver the information in different formats because people learn differently. So you may need a checklist. You may need to just listen to a quick video. Maybe it's a PDF that you can download. Maybe it's resources that you just don't know are available. What I do, and I think a lot of people do, is they run down the Google rabbit hole. The minute they hear something, they're like, oh, I got to Google it. How to? What if? What happens if? And then they find themselves just like exhausted and overwhelmed. And it's like, they're not any further along at the end of the 2-hour search than they were when they started. They're just more confused. And I wanted to put this information all in one place, because I think that's one of the biggest challenges for people. You know, it's like, oh, my mom got a diagnosis of Alzheimer's. And so then they go to the Alzheimer's Association and then they start digging into all of that. But there's a lot of other elements. There are a lot of other things that need to be considered.
Now, before you started The Devoted Daughter, you were running a senior home care business. And you came into that also out of your own experience of caring for your mother. So let's have you share with my listeners what your experience was as the caregiver to your mother.
So my mom was chronically ill. She had diabetes. At one point, I counted over 47 different physicians. So she was very medically complex. And, you know, most people aren't going to go through that kind of a scenario, but it kind of just started, it would creep up on us. And every time we thought we were over the hump, there was another mountain to climb. It took a team. And we as a family really kind of bonded together and communicated with one another and said, okay, I'll take the day shift, you take the night shift. You know, I have two brothers. One of my youngest brother is a physician, and he was in medical school at the time. So he was a great resource. And the physicians that he was working with were an amazing resource. You know, not everybody has that. The other thing is that when you have somebody who's chronically ill, the body is a complex little machine. And trying to learn all about, you know, what's happening in someone's body and the, you know, all the chemicals and the reactions and the drugs, it was a full-time intense deal. And I have to say that my mom was such a fighter. She just wanted to be here for us. She wanted to know her grandkids. And it's just, it's interesting because she had her mind, but she didn't have her body. And then you see other people who have their bodies and not their minds. And you kind of just go, I don't know which is worse. You know,
yeah.
None of it's a good deal. But it was years and years and years of going through this with her, in and out of hospitals, in and out of nursing homes, in home health. I mean, we went through every healthcare system known to man.
Share the story of you and your mother being in the car and she had an incident that mm-hmm. you both just had to get through. Because I think many of us have had a moment like this.
As I said, my mom was chronically ill. And I think at this point, she had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer on top of everything else. So diabetes, breast cancer, pancreatic cancer. She had gone blind from the diabetes, so she was also on dialysis. The chemo treatment was just killing her kidneys, and she was violently ill from it. When we would go to a doctor's appointment or really anywhere, I'd have to get there at least an hour ahead of time because depending on how she was feeling, we had to take breaks. You know, I think that that's the other thing people don't realize is it's not like, okay, mom, be ready at 9:30, ready to go. Boom, we're out the door. No. This is like an hour and a half process to get dressed, take a break, make sure we've taken all our pills. You know, it was a whole event. So we get outside, it's this beautiful fall day, and my mom loved the sun. And so she was using a walker, much to her chagrin. And so we get over to the car and we kind of had this routine, and I was like, okay, here. And then I helped her. I'd like hoist her up into the seat. So she gets in the seat, diarrhea goes everywhere. It's everywhere. It's all over me. It's all over her. It's all over the car. And I'm like, oh my God. And she just looks at me. She's like, honey. And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, you got to write a book because you just can't make this stuff up. And I was like, really? Mom, I'm like, are you okay? First of all, are you okay? I'm fine. This is such a mess. Oh. Like, we'll figure it out. It's all right. We'll figure it out.
So this says so much about your relationship with your mom.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
we both just end up in tears, just like, oh, why is this happening? You know?
Yeah.
We got through it. We got it cleaned up. And it's just like, man, this is a stinky deal. I mean, it was just. But it was a rough day. But and I did end up writing a book.
Yeah.
For my mom. So that's kind of as I went back and thought about it, I was like, wow, mom, I did write that book.
and thank goodness you did, because there does seem to be, for so many families, there's that moment when something very personal and intimate and embarrassing happens. And it usually is around bathing, toileting, mm-hmm. Something about that. And if you can find a way to make it kind of funny mm-hmm. with your parent, it can really save their pride. And, you know, it just seems like it always happens.
Yep. The human body is what it is, but it's humiliating, you know? I mean, my mom was very, very prideful and always dressed to the nines and very attractive. And, you know, it was awful for her.
Yeah. And I've also noticed that some parents, when it comes to that intimate personal care, only want a family member doing that. And others refuse to have a family member do that. They would rather have someone they're paying bathe them than mm-hmm. a family member. Mm-hmm. And it just depends on, you know, the culture of the family, of the person.
There's lots of variables.
So your situation was that your mother had so many medical situations. For other people, it is that they've simply gotten so old that they're not managing their life very well. Mm-hmm. That it's not so medically involved. And so there is something I hear all the time, and it's that kids, they can see that mom or dad need help, but mom and dad don't want help, or there's pride involved or control issues. What advice do you have for adult children who are trying to help where maybe they're not wanted?
Well, it's interesting because 40% of people don't ever plan on having this conversation with their parents. And the reason they don't want to have the conversation is because they don't want to upset the apple cart. They don't want to upset their parents. They already know they're going to bump up against resistance, right? And every family is different. But I think the biggest thing is you have to start early. In a lot of families, we think of our parents in their prime. And so this kind of sneaks up on you. I mean, before you know it, you're like, oh, mom and dad are fine. I don't want to rock the boat. And mom and dad really aren't fine. You know, you start to see little signs and symptoms. So my advice to answer your question is got to start sooner. I mean, it's so much easier to have a conversation with someone about driving when they're not threatened or they're not thinking that tomorrow they're going to lose their driver's license. It's like, okay, well, that could be in the future. You know, how would you feel about that, dad? What if you couldn't drive at night anymore? Or, you know, if you were worried about your reaction time, would you be willing to give up your driver's license? Just starting to break the ice because, you know, we all think to ourselves, well, that's never going to happen. I mean, my dad's never going to drive through a storefront. It's never going to happen until it does. I think one of the things that I always like to do with families is find common ground, like use some of their friends or someone they know. Now, mom, when Jim had that heart attack, I remember they had a caregiver. Now, did they have long-term care insurance or something like that, didn't they? Do you and dad have anything like that? It's kind of like you have to start chipping away at it because if you back someone against the wall, or you push on them and you're both pushing like this, you're not going to go very far, are you?
Right.
You're both just pushing from your own corners.
Yeah.
So you really just have to start to break it down and go, okay, we're just going to chip away at it. And you know, a lot of times just medications, for example, we don't know what they're taking. A lot of families don't even know who the physician is. So it's kind of like trying to help them organize the information, but it is a delicate dance because my gram did this until the time she was in her 90s. She wouldn't let me help her with her medications. And I was like, oh my gosh. And they were in a shoebox with rubber bands wrapped around them with little notes, but that was her system. And she didn't want me to screw with it. And she didn't trust me.
Right. And it is just so fraught with complicated situations where you don't know what to do. And I like the idea that you offer people an organized way to tackle some of these issues. I mean, just something as simple as going to the doctor's visit with your parents and hearing your parents give misinformation to the to the doctor. And it's those moments where you have to take control of the situation and maybe kind of embarrass your parents, you know, by correcting them. It's this new terrain where you are becoming the parent and they are becoming more like the child. And I don't even think we don't want that to happen. We don't want to become their parent.
No. No. And you really have to allow them as much space and freedom as you can. So focusing on the things that they can do instead of on what they can't do. When people are aging, they go through a lot of loss. And you might not think of it in that way, but, you know, even retiring, a lot of people are purposeful people. They've worked their whole lives. They've been involved in their work day in and day out, and it gives them purpose. So once they step away from that, it's like, okay, well, now what do I do? Maybe they've had a parent who's died. Maybe a pet has died. Maybe some friends have died. Maybe they can't drive anymore. So all of a sudden, all these losses start to pile up for them. When you come in and try to take over managing their medications, it feels like another loss. It's like, oh, no. I can do that just fine. So you really need to put yourself in the other person's shoes a little bit and just try to be respectful of them.
For instance, let's say it's time for having a helper come in and just do the housekeeping or prepare one meal a day or something like that. That it's helpful if you allow your parent to feel that they're in control by giving them a choice about how that happens, but not if that's going to happen.
Yeah, or, you know, Mom, I'm just really worried about you and Dad. Can you just do this for me? Can you just try this for me? You know, just put it back on you a little bit. I'm here to help you stay home. Because when asked, really, 90% of seniors want to stay home. They don't want to move.
Right.
So that's another conversation that you can have with your folks is just, you know, if you guys want to stay here, we just have to make sure that, you know, you're safe and things are okay. And we're going to need a couple extra set of hands and arms and legs to make it happen.
Yeah. What I would love for you to speak to my listener who is trying to manage their feelings of guilt over this situation. Because this is something I hear so frequently that they know that their parents need a lot of care. Maybe they have a parent who is asking for a lot of assistance. And if they were to leave it unchecked, they would be, talk about devoted daughter, they would be 24/7 in their parents' service. Mm-hmm. And they really, I mean, they can't. They can't have a life and do that. Mm-hmm. Well, how do you advise managing the guilt?
For everyone, this is such a personal thing.
Yes.
You know, we're dealing with families, we're dealing with relationships and those dynamics. And I had this guilt, even though I think sometimes it doesn't even matter how much time you spend. I would be with my mom all day long. And I just was like, oh, I just want to go home and see my dog, you know?
Yeah.
And my mom would say, well, honey, can't you just stay like another half an hour? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I've already been here for 8 hours and I have to drive another hour and 15 minutes in traffic to get home. And I just need a break. Right. But it made me, you know, it made me feel bad because she didn't really have that, you know, sense of time or, you know, things that she needed to get done. So I think it's finding your own tribe and building that support system. So, because as I was reflecting on my mom's birthday coming up, I was thinking, I spent a lot of time doing things that other people could have done.
But she would have preferred for you to do it.
Sure, sure. But there were little things that could have been done that she were, you know, going to the grocery store or picking up medication, standing in line at the pharmacy, or, you know, there were things outside of the personal interaction that I could have, if I had planned this in advance, I could have been more organized about how the support was going to help me and to help her so that the time that I spend there is quality time.
Yeah. And I love that you talk about that on the website. You said something about as a daughter, you wanted to find a way to help other people maintain their relationship with their parent as a daughter, not as a caregiver, because it does get very kind of kooky and you want to enjoy your mom.
Yeah. No, and you're exhausted, you know, it's just, and I was worried all the time. You know, I was always waiting for the other shoe to drop because I knew it was going to be something. And my mom's mom, after my mom passed away, she was 98 at the time. And when she started needing some care, I just said to my uncle, I am not going to be Graham's caregiver. I am going to be her granddaughter. I made this mistake once and I'm not going to do it again. And she fought us tooth and nail on it. But, you know, I have to say that, you know, some days it was rough, but all in all, we had the right team. And I felt really good when I would come down there. She lived about an hour away from me, and I'd get there in the morning, and the caregiver from the night before had her breakfast set out. Her apartment was really clean. She was all tucked in. I mean, she was well cared for.
For some families, this would be a luxury. You know, it mm-hmm. depends on the finances of each sure. family. So if we want to keep them at home, how do you advise people on doing that, of putting together a team if there is, you know, a bit of financial concern?
So I think one of the things that we talk about on the website, I call it the circles of care. The people at the center of that circle are people that you would call in the middle of the night. And as you move out to the perimeter of the circle, those are people that are you casually interact with. And I've heard people say, well, Kelly, I don't have anyone. You know, it's just me. But when you start to dig into it and you start to really think about, you know, who do you interact with? Do you interact with people at the senior center or in your community at a church? Or, I mean, for us, my mom's hairdresser ended up to be just an amazing miracle. Somebody that I would have never expected. And you have to be willing to ask, because people a lot of times get really shut down on this, and they just like, I'm just going to do it myself. It's just easier. Or she's just going to move in with me. And then you've got to start to be resourceful. And that is one of the things about starting early that I think is so important, is getting those resources, figure out what's going on in your community. Are there people who help? I mean, even in hospice organizations, they have people who are trained, but they are volunteers. So they're not there all the time, but at least you know you have a volunteer that can come just sit with your mom for a couple hours, because you really need the break. It's going to take a little effort and organization.
Right. Well, and sometimes you need highly skilled care for certain situations. And for others, you really are just looking for someone to come hang out with mom. As you said, all of a sudden another shoe will drop and it's an entirely new ball game. It seemed like for me, as soon as I had everything worked out, the whole situation would change. So, you know, for instance, I had a collection. I mean, I talk about a team. I had quite a team helping with my mom. And my mom was dying of cancer. And so it was, you know, a hospital bed, and she wasn't driving anymore. And she was not receiving treatment of any kind either. So we mm-hmm. did have some hospice services, which Medicare paid for. And then we had additional services, which we paid for. We found out my mother's long-term care policy that she had paid, you know, so much money for, did not provide for in-home care. So, and she was insisting she stay at home. So we were very fortunate that she had the financial resources that I was then able to privately hire people to be in the house. I think we also had a home health service that would have people who could administer drugs, but there were people at different levels depending on what they were going to be required to do for my mother. So lots of different pay rates, lots of different arrangements. And I won't say it was easy to manage. It was quite a project. But I like what you're saying about this circle and including family, friends, and people who can just stop by.
I mean, every state has different rules and laws about who does what and all that good stuff. So that's something that people really need to check with their state. At physicians' offices too, there's a lot of folks that have a social worker on staff. So if you're starting to get in that bind, or you can see that things are going down a road, call the primary care, ask if they have a social worker on staff. If they don't, ask what resources they know about in your community. It's really about asking. Just ask, ask, ask.
So I do want to ask you, what are your top three tips for caring for aging parents?
Well, we've kind of talked about one of them already, but start early. I mean, it is never too soon to start having this conversation. And then the next one is talk to your siblings, talk to the people who are going to be directly involved in this. And keep in mind, as you guys come to an agreement, things change. I mean, your sister might have a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old when you start this conversation, but when it actually happens and when you guys need to come together on it, her kids are already in school. So, you know, she's a little bit more flexible than she used to be. And figure out who can do what. Because as you just said, you know, some people want a family member to bathe them, but my brother wasn't going to bathe my mom. But he was great at getting all the financial stuff organized, getting all of the legal paperwork done, picking her up from dialysis. So who does what? What are their skills? I was the cook and really kind of the cheerleader and in charge of medications and managing her medical care along with my younger brother. So identify what skills people are bringing to the table and leave judgment at the door, I guess, lastly, because you're not here to be the judge. I know this is a tough scenario because I've heard this over the years and I had it with my own dad. We didn't have a great relationship. So then you have this struggle. It's like, it's a rub. Okay, well, we didn't have a great relationship. So now how are we going to care for you? What role am I going to play in that care? I would suggest thinking about that in advance. And that's another thing that you can talk to your siblings about. The three of us had to have that conversation. And, you know, we came to an agreement that worked for all three of us.
I'm so glad you brought that up about what if your relationship with your parent is not that great? In fact, what if it is terrible? What if it is you are not going to change your lifestyle to step in? And I think that there are kids who really wrestle with what is my moral obligation here? Mm-hmm. When you were in the business, were you hearing, you know, getting contacted by family members saying, you know, I'm willing to write a check, but that's about it?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And I'm thinking of one guy in particular that I went out to his dad's house and met with the two of them. And then as I walked out to my car, Brad came over to me and he said, Kelly, you know what? I literally do not speak to my dad. I want to do the right thing, but our relationship has deteriorated and there's really been no contact in over 10 years.
Tell my audience a little bit about your book and what they will find in that in terms of the resources. Because like you said, everyone's going to be looking for so many answers and you do have things on the website, but it all kind of started with this book.
The book is called Always Her Daughter. I refer back to the devoted daughter to our website frequently in the book because I want the information to stay up to date, to stay current. So in healthcare, a lot of things change. So when I go through, you know, just general topics of how to advocate for a parent, you know, what happens in the hospital? What happens when you discharge? What happens when you get a diagnosis of dementia? Talking about my dad in that example specifically. So there's a lot of different scenarios. I also bring in the stories of some of the families that I served. You know, you just, when you've seen thousands of people go through this process, everybody's a little bit different. But I would encourage you to kind of check out the book, check out our website. There's a lot of great info there on how to use the tools that are available. We didn't even really touch on, things like power of attorney, durable power of attorney, advanced directives. There's a lot of paperwork and a lot of things that you need to be aware of as you step into this next phase with your folks.
Yeah. And I have many listeners who are in their early 40s. Mm-hmm. And I know Kelly would like to say this, but I'll say it on her behalf. Even if your parents are so fit and active right now, you need to learn about this stuff now, because once you need the information, it's almost too late and you're playing catch up. So I would highly recommend the book, the website. And then for those of you who are really, you know, going into the trenches here, Kelly does have a workshop that is going to be coming up. We're recording this. It'll be out in October, and it'll be shortly thereafter that there will be a workshop online available. Kelly, do you want to talk about that just a bit, as much as you can?
Sure. It's called The Playbook for Aging Parents, and it's a digital course that takes you through the process of planning, advocating, interacting, using the tools that we just spoke about. There's also a lot of great resources in there.
Well, people can think of you as their good friend who's walked this path before you, which I think we're all looking for, that person of who can give me, you know, all the answers, who can be there every time I want to pick up the phone and call and ask. You know, she's done all of this homework for you ahead of time, and it's available either through her website, in the book, if you take the class. And I just think that everyone can save themselves and their siblings and their parents a lot of confusion and misunderstanding and honestly chaos by being a little bit more prepared.
Absolutely. Amen.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to take over your life. You don't have to sacrifice your happiness in order to care for your parents. I feel very strongly about this, Kelly, that they reach the age of 50 and suddenly they have this new excitement for life. They're looking at making some changes, expanding, you know, their worldview or their view of themselves. And then a parent needs them and they put their life on a shelf for later. Mm-hmm. And I want to like take that person by the shoulders and say, you can be sure your parents are well cared for, that they are safe, but you still have to keep a life.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that most parents want that for their kids.
I think so too. All right. Thank you very much. Give your website address.
TheDevotedDaughter.com.
And can they order the book right there or through Amazon? Or
Through Amazon. And there's a link there for Always Her Daughter. So it's really easy to see.
Okay, great. And I will also put all of these links on the website, experience50.com/175. Aunt Kelly, I want to thank you so much for the work that you have done. And you're really just spreading the love to my crew who we're at the age where this is what's happening.
Yep, it is. Well, I'm happy to be here, and I hope this has helped your listeners.
Again, I want to thank our guest, Kelly Bradley. She has a heart of gold, but she's very practical. And I think that's why she and I got along so well. So here's some other little Experience 50 business. The September month, the month of September, was my birthday month, not me personally, but the show. We completed our fourth year, now in our fifth year of bringing you weekly podcasts. And it, kind of to celebrate all of us, I had lowered the price of my mentoring sessions. So it was $147 for someone to book a one-hour call with me previously. And for the month of September, I lowered it to $50, Experience $50. And it was great. I talked to so many of you, and each and every video call is a little bit different. Everyone has different issues, different questions, different stories. And I guess the way to sum up what the benefit of these calls has been for my listeners is that we really kind of come to a conclusion of framing where you are right now in this crazy midlife transition pivot. Is it personal? Is it professional? Where should you be focusing right now? Maybe you're just being too hard on yourself. Get that one a lot, I gotta say. And it's been so fulfilling for me because I have talked to so many people this month. And as I've told you guys before, I just love having this opportunity to ask people questions that help them really frame their story of who they are and where they are right now. I think that's all it takes sometimes is having someone ask you the questions. And I'm going to tell you, you guys have the answers, but if no one asks them, you don't know they're there. So what I'm going to do is I have to end the $50 deal because I just have to. So I'm not going to go back to $147. I'm kind of going to split the difference and take it to $97. But I won't do that until October 11th because I didn't really give anybody warning of when I was stopping this. So depending on when you're listening, if you go to my booking page through October 11, you will still see the $50 price. You can book that call for wherever in the future. But if you are there after that date, it's going to be $97. And I hope I just want to talk to everybody. I just want to talk to everybody because nobody is, no one is immune from this midlife experience. What I call an experience 50 moment where you either get kicked in the teeth or kicked in the pants. And so we help kind of figure out what happened and where to go from there. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you're not subscribed, be sure you go to the podcast player of your choice. And you can search for the Experience 50 podcast for midlife and be sure that you get every episode. You can also find out more about getting on my email list, previous episodes over at experience50.com. Okay, enough of that. Have a fabulous week, a terrific day. You've got this. Bye.